Welcome everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I have poured my wine after.
I think a lot of Laker fans are going to need to porn after that game. make that a verb.
Just kind of like wash out whatever we have in our eyes after that game.
Yeah.
That was ugly. You and I, Pete, were talking before we went live, and I don't think that game could have possibly gone any worse.
What a bunch of garbage that was, man. The effort just unacceptable, man. So frustrating and irritating. I know we're talk about this in the B block, but nights like that can't happen, especially when you lose at home to Orlando, right? And Orlando's a good team, right? Yeah. I think they're an underrated squad, and people are getting, you know, the idea that, hey, they're not so bad. So it's not an embarrassing loss, right? But, and I didn't expect them to win this game at Denver, that was crap. And there's just been too many of those, man.
Yeah. We need to just really quickly mention the Lonzo injury. He turns his ankle. He tries to play in the second half, and I think he deserves credit for trying to give it a go. I mean, given the fact that the Lakers don't have another point guard right now, was Caruso even with the team for this one?
I don't know. I mean, if he couldn't get in that game, he shouldn't be with the team, right? I'm not sure if he was active for that game. I didn't check before it, but, you know, especially with Lonzo going out, you figure if there's a game for him to get into, it's the, you know, 30-point blowout where you don't have any point guards.
Yeah. Either that or they just don't know how the two-way contracts work. Maybe they just think, like, if we use him once, he's gone for the year. But if Lonzo misses time, one, Caruso has to be, does he start? Like, does he, we're finally going to get a change to the starting lineup. How about that?
I think you probably get Josh in the starting lineup and then have B.I. run point with the starters.
I think so too. But that would be, that throws the rotation all out of whack. I mean, we saw it at one point tonight. I'm not going to try to get you to do a funniest thing of the night, though it has to be that lineup though.
The Ingram, KCP, Lance, JaVale, Beasley.
I don't know how that happens when you're not tanking.
Here's what I don't get. So like, Josh has been dealing with an ankle injury, and I get that. So I thought, hey, you know, maybe it's flared up, maybe he's having some issues with that. Put Beasley in and see see if he can get some run in Josh's place.
Right.
But then Josh checks in for the first time with like 3 minutes left in the second. Yeah. And this is before Lonzo's injury. It's like, wait, if Josh is available, why is Beasley ahead of him? What the crap is that?
Yeah. And also Hart played garbage time, which
right, exactly.
Definitely not in those moments.
Right.
Harrison kind of, because when I was doing the other show with Harrison, he was taken aback when I said that I've been pretty disappointed with Luke, especially lately, and the lack of creativity and the rotations and the starting lineup stuff. Like, it's become almost taxing to watch this. But this especially, if you're, I get that there's politics to work and you want to try to get veterans opportunities as best you can and what have you, whatever excuse might be there, but not going to Hart, having Beasley in any rotation before Hart, I just, as it was happening, Jen was legitimately concerned about me. She was asked, are you okay? Like, are you going to be? And I'm just saying, what the bleep is going on here? I don't understand what the thought process might be there. There is none.
Yeah, we need more Josh Hart, not less. and he is not like, he hasn't been great last couple of games since he turned his ankle, right? Mm-hmm. But going forward long term, like, that's a guy that, I don't know, he's going to be part of it. He's going to be part of what they're looking to do. And friggin', Michael Beasley ahead of him, just nah, man, that's not, you know, and you know, is that the difference between a 32 point loss or not? No, probably not. But it certainly started to turn the tide of like, oh, we're BSing this game.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's when that really started, that this didn't started to look like not a competitive game in the second quarter.
That's where I'm going to leave this first segment. We're going to take a quick second here and we're going to come back and talk about them BSing this game and that the main violators of the BS are the people who we were told provide championship leadership this past offseason. So we're going to come back to that here in a second. Today's show is brought to you in part by Metro Infinity. If you are like me and pushed your car off of a cliff because of that rotation, because of that lineup that Luke Walton trotted out there with Brandon Ingram and Michael Beasley and Lance Stevenson, and I can't keep thinking of who else was on the court because it physically pains me, then you need a new car. And the best place to go out and get a new car and a quality new car is at Metro Infinity. They're located at 821 East Central Avenue in Monrovia, California, just off of 210. And you got to go by and check out their brand new multi-million dollar facility and check out all the amazing new and used cars that they have to offer there. They're the number one volume dealer in Southern California. They've been in business for over 25 years. So go there, mention Locked On, and they'll knock off $500 off your car purchase. Check them out at MetroInfinity.com or call them at 626-599-7510. And let's get back to the show. So I understand why at the beginning of the season fans were all about Lance Stevenson. I understand why at the beginning of the season and for most of the season people have been all about JaVale McGee. He's been good too. I kind of sort of understood at the time of the signing, depending on how they used Michael Beasley, okay, we'll see how that goes, but I'm a little dubious. And you made the point, and I'll let you make it here right now, that I think should be made here as it pertains to these veterans. They're doing stuff that if younger guys were doing, they would not get away with it for half a second.
Right. And so I don't want to make it sound like they're the only ones doing it, but if you're going to sign these guys and advertise them as the type of guys, the type of competitors,
culture
and all those things, you can't have nights like this as often as they've had nights like this. They've even won some games, like, you know, the Dallas game or the Atlanta game, right? Mm-hmm. Where they pulled them out, but they were garbage efforts, right? And Toronto whooped them, right? That was a game they didn't show up. And when you do that against a team as good as Toronto is, you end up seeing that reflected on the scoreboard badly,
like
right?
Tonight, you know.
Just like tonight with a team like Denver. We can cite too many of those. Now, does it all go back to LeBron? LeBron's teams have nights like this and have nights like this on a fairly regular basis during the regular season. This is something, if you talk to Cleveland people, like, this is what comes with it. The thing about that is LeBron obviously also brings all sorts of wonderful things to the table. When you're signing the side guys like that and they're there for culture and competitiveness and things like that, my question is, in what ways do they do that? Like Lance or Beasley? JaVale, you know, will block some shots, right? But like Lance and Beasley specifically, they're scorers. Maybe they have attitude. Maybe they can talk about it and whatnot. But I do not see them competing in all aspects of the game type thing for when they get minutes. Now, Beasley's barely played this season. But that's just if you're going to sign guys under those pretenses, you just can't have nights like this as often as they do. And those guys have to be doing something other than contributing when they have the ball in their hands. They've got to be contributing in those other little things. I'm busting my ass to chase my guy around a screen, dropping down for defensive rebounds, whatever it is. Compete. Like, it can't just be a buzzword, culture, competitors, things like that. You have to compete on the floor. And it's not just them, but it's something that's team-wide. But again, that's how they were sold to us by when they were signed.
Well, that's the thing, though, is that when they were signed and we were sold culture and competition and all these things, they then are expected to set the tone, right? Like the, if they get extra latitude because they are veterans and because they are the tone setters and all these things, and they then don't go out and set the tone, then they aren't doing what they were signed to do in the first place. And it hurts the entire roster from that point, because the kids, it's not like Lonzo Ball, it feels like he gets rewarded, right? For over the, when, if Lonzo Ball has been more aggressive since he started to set screens, since he's been taking the ball coast to coast and trying to be more involved in the offense, and he still isn't getting fourth quarter minutes, and now all of a sudden you got guys who were signed as leaders and told that they were going to sell the culture and build up this culture organizationally, and they're getting the minutes despite BSing their way through multiple games. Now, I just, if I was a kid, I don't know how I would handle this. If I was a kid subconsciously, I'm just going to say, sure thing, Luke.
And speaking of, how much does stuff, nights like this and the frequency of nights like this, fall on Luke's doorstep?
I mean, that's what I keep on saying, is that eventually, look, he has a whole bunch of mouths to feed here, right? Not just in terms of roster guys on this roster, but also the people who signed the people who are on this roster, right? And I would imagine that there are a couple walking orders telling him, hey, we need to get Beasley a few minutes here. We need to get KCP some clutch minutes, pun intended, to satisfy that aspect of things. And I'm sure at some point, if I was Luke, at some point I'd wipe my hands of this stuff. and I think if he isn't going to wipe his hands of stuff, he needs to at some point do some actual leadership here and step up and say, this is what's actually best for our team. And I need to sit you guys down. When Lance goes and shoots his third straight pull-up mid-range jumper with 17 seconds left on the shot clock, he can't play anymore. I don't care who signed him, he just can't play anymore.
Yeah, so all of those potential factors that you mentioned are all very much possible. I can't speak to which ones have happened, which ones haven't, or to what extent they have, but either way, Luke can't wash his hands of this because he's the coach of the team. He has to take charge of it. And until he does, I have to believe that this is what he wants, right? Yeah. Now, I understand there are external factors and things like that. But, you know, lineups like that lineup tonight. And then, you know, I have praised him quite a bit for his ability to communicate with people and how everybody, you know, he has a good relationship with people. And I like him personally in my dealings with him. But if you are not an X's and O's type of stud, right, what ways on the court do those attributes manifest themselves? Mm-hmm. You should be able to play hard and compete every night, and or close to it. I understand there's going to be a few in every 82-game schedule, no matter how good, how competitive your team is. You're going to have some stinkers. It happens too frequently, especially after a loss like that Orlando game. You can't come out the next night and have an even worse effort than you had in that Orlando game, especially in the middle of that Orlando game. So these, in some ways, are an indictment on Luke, where if you're not going to be doing, you know, really interesting and productive half court sets, and they have gotten better on the defensive end, and he deserves credit for that. But you're not gonna, like, if you can't motivate people to play hard, and like, what is the value added of Luke Walton if he can't do that?
Yeah,
and this is just happening too often.
Yeah, I completely agree, and I. I'm sick of coming back and harping on the same issue, but it just keeps coming back to me. Starters set the tone. That's the number one way that you acknowledge guys who are doing things the right way. And Josh Hart, in my opinion, has done this season the right way, probably the rightest way of just about anybody on the roster. And there's a dire need for his skill set in the starting lineup. And it's just not happening. And now a few games ago, they had the excuse that he could go to that they were winning, and changing things up when you're winning or whatever. That's not gonna happen back then. But now they aren't winning. Now those numbers are even louder, and they aren't winning basketball games. Something has to change here. And if nothing changes, then yeah, what purpose does Luke Walton serve? We're gonna come back here and I provided last show reason to believe that Brandon Ingram and LeBron James can make it work, even if the, you know, beyond staggering their minutes and stuff, because that alone isn't going to fix what the Lakers need. So we're going to take a quick second here, try to catch our breaths. Breaths? That doesn't sound right. I'm going to go punch something, and then we're going to come back and finish talking about this game. Today's show is also brought to you in part by MyBookie. If you were smart and bet against the Lakers tonight, and actually, I'm pretty sure if you've bet against the Lakers throughout this entire season, you are standing pretty cleanly positive on the year. If all your bets remain the same and you bet on every single one of these games. That's information that you could get if you went through MyBookie. You can go there, you could check out, you can monitor all of the stats that you need to monitor there. You can make any bet that you might be looking for, and you can do that by first going on there and logging on or entering Locked On as your promo code, and they'll match 100% of your first deposit up to a grand. That way, you are really sitting pretty on this season if you've followed those instructions. So go to MyBookie. They are phenomenal at getting your payments or your winnings back to you in a timely manner, because really that's all that matters. So go to MyBookie, enter the promo code Locked On, and they'll match your first deposit up to $1,000 of 100% of your first deposit up to $1,000. You play, you win, you get paid. Why does breaths not sound right? It doesn't. Breaths? Breathes?
I think just breath is the plural of breath.
I think so too. Yeah. English major.
What a garbage night.
I concur. All right. So let's. Last show, I spent a good amount of time talking about the way that the Lakers are using Brandon Ingram, and you and I have spent a lot of time talking about that. And one of the things I spent all this past weekend thinking of ways that Brandon Ingram might be better used than the way that he's being used right now. And one of the things that I've kind of noticed in thinking about it and then going back and rewatching highlights of games and stuff and highlights of Brandon Ingram's usage, It struck me how big a gap there is between Kyle Kuzma design cuts to the basket and Brandon Ingram design cuts to the basket. And it just, that seems backwards to me. I feel like Kuzma should be on the perimeter a little bit more, spacing the floor, given what we thought his skill set was going to be, and Ingram should be the guy utilized more as a cutter. And especially, one thing that Kuzma deserves a lot of credit for is his ability to, after making these cuts, make that secondary pass, and his passing has taken a step forward in recent games. But Ingram can do that kind of thing too. And so I guess my question to you is, would you roll with that hypothesis, or do you think that's something that can be instituted at this stage of the season?
I mean, I do think that it's something that can be instituted. It's something where a lot of times coaches will determine whether or not they should do something more or something less based on, if you have kind of that small sample, is how is a guy doing it when he does have the opportunity to do it? You're absolutely right that there's a lot more action that's designed for Kuzma to be the cutter off of it, but there has been some for BI. For example, their 1-4 high UCLA type sequences, they run those for BI sometimes, right? Where Brandon will bring the ball up court, pass the ball to LeBron. Usually Lonzo will set the back screen and BI will cut off of it. He doesn't cut particularly hard off of it, and he doesn't read or set up the screen particularly well off of it.
Yeah.
So in the actions that they have had for Brandon to cut or move off of the ball, he's been kind of tepid in how he's done it. Mm-hmm. So from a coach's perspective, do you give him more of that and hope that, yeah, like, hey, this is more your role now, this is how you're going to get your buckets, you know, is that something that you hope for? It's also something that I do understand, in that he's kind of the guy where if the ball's not on LeBron's side of the floor, he's usually on the opposite side of LeBron, as the, we can give the ball to that guy on the, yeah, opposite side of the floor if that's the direction that the play flows in. That being said, I'd love to see him used more as a screener and as a cutter, and to get him the ball off of movement one of the things I've actually liked recently is they're getting him more triple threat and high post, low post type touches. Yeah. And I think those mid-range shots are better shots. He can create better space for himself on those. But yeah, I definitely see where you're coming from in that hypothesis.
Yeah, after I have a show about it, I spend a good amount of time that following game watching him, and I notice that same kind of thing where and the other thing too that he does is he quits on plays pretty quickly. If he doesn't get the ball on that cut and he goes to that opposite side, his posture immediately gets back to, okay, I'll wait for the next time the ball swings my way and I get the isolation play. So I think the onus on this is on both guys, on both institutions here.
Yeah, the coach and the player.
Yeah, but you know, and that's a good point that you're making as it pertains to, do you reward the guy? After we've spent the entire last podcast talking about rewarding guys for doing the right thing, I'm now going back on that and saying that Ingram should have more of these looks. I'm just trying to find ways that, because frankly, what it comes down to is the Lakers' two, I would probably say, most talented players can't be on the court at the same time right now. they just, it's not working. And the best stretch that Ingram played again in the game tonight or last night, given what time you guys are listening to this, was with when LeBron went to the bench. Ingram started hitting everything from mid-range. I still didn't particularly like that everything was coming in the mid-range, but he still looked a lot more aggressive in those kinds of situations. And I don't know if it's becoming a confirmation bias on the part of Ingram where I'm on the court with LeBron, this is just a role that I'm going to fall back into, and I'll just wait for him to go take a seat on the bench. And if that is where it is, then again, it comes back to, well, all right, Luke, put Brandon on the bench and stagger his minutes as much as you possibly can with LeBron. I just, not all of this can be true at the same time.
But the last few games, Brandon has been the guy that's run point with LeBron out. He has been the guy who's come out first in the starting lineup and has been running alongside the second unit with varying results, right? He brought him back in the Orlando game, and then, you know, in kind of a funky lineup outside of him, it was not so great against Denver, and it had some rough stretches in some other games. But at the end of the day, man, like, they can't avoid each other all game. Like, yeah. That is something that has to be figured out, or Brandon probably needs to be traded for somebody who fits better. Fit. Obviously a talented player, right? I'm not saying give out for nothing, but if there is that big of a discrepancy between what Brandon can give you when he's on LeBron's on the court versus when he's off, that is a problem until it gets resolved, and there's no running away from it no matter how much you stagger their minutes. So that's something that needs to be figured out, and I would like to see – I'd like to see them trying something different.
Yes.
Whether it's more cutting,
absolutely,
more screening, a combination thereof. I think that they found something nice with Lonzo's screen setting with LeBron, and I think they've developed a bit of chemistry together, Lonzo and LeBron have. Kuzma does cut well off of LeBron, and Brandon, you know, Hart is a guy that's going to fit in probably with just about anybody, but that is really the last one where we haven't seen any progress. That's my biggest concern. It's not like Lonzo and LeBron are like vibing like crazy. It doesn't look great right now. Same thing with Kuz, but you can see kind of like the building blocks off of it. 20 games in now, I don't see what they're building toward in the LeBron Brandon dynamic, and that's problematic.
Yeah, I completely agree with everything that you said there, and would add to that it sounds to me like you would hop on the trade machine and see how the contracts work between Brandon Ingram and D'Angelo Russell. Is that
God damn it, Anthony?
I'm gonna hear it so much for that one tomorrow. Oh man! All right. Any positive takeaways? Anything else that you want to talk about before we sign off here?
No, man. That crap was garbage. I don't have any positives off of that night. Like,
yeah.
No. Jesus.
I'm trying. The positives is that the game is over and that this episode of the
and that no one important got hurt. Oh, no. Never mind.
Yeah.
Oh,
man. I laugh through my pain. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but we're going to end this one. This is going to be a little shorter of a show because It just is taxing to talk about this specific team and this specific game. So we're going to end this one. We're going to we'll try to figure out something fun to do for you guys tomorrow. And hopefully after Thursday night's game, we'll have a little bit better basketball to talk about. We'll see how that turns out. I don't know how likely that might be if Lonzo Ball misses any time. What do you think happens here? Do you think he plays on Thursday?
It seemed like a mild ankle sprain. So I mean, but you know, I'm surprised they didn't euthanize him in the locker room the way that the friggin' training staff handles things. Sorry, I'm upset right now, and like, I probably shouldn't say these things anymore out of anger. But
that game incites that type of response. I'm trying to just laugh my way through it, and like I said, I'm probably going to have another couple glasses of wine and try to forget this ever happened. I hope you guys don't forget that the show happened. Continue to subscribe. We'll talk to you guys again tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day. Woof.